I want to speak to you tonight, my memorial. And this weekend, we honor those who give their lives in defense of the freedoms that we enjoy. And then we look at their sacrifice and their willingness to give their all so that our nation could experience the ability to be free. And we are so very thankful for each one who served in any of the armed forces. We owe a great debt to those who died so that you and I can be here today. The sacrifices of these soldiers and of those who are still fighting today should never, ever be forgotten. Folks, many Americans have paid and will continue to pay the price for our freedom and our safety. And it is only fitting that we should take the time to remember these fallen heroes and take the time to bow your head and thank God for those who loved America enough to give their lives and their fortunes in the nation's defense. Fighting for our nation is a great and necessary, but I want to draw your attention to an instance in the Word of God tonight where there was another memorial. And this memorial wasn't for fighting in battle, even though it was involving a soldier. And I should say that it wasn't for fighting an earthly battle, but it was definitely for fighting a spiritual warfare. And I want you to see what God honors most and what you can do that will rise as a memorial before your God. It's great to be remembered of men and given place of honor for the things that we've done for humanity, but it is far more important to be remembered, folks, by God and for what we have done for Him. Amen? If you'll turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, we're going to read verse 1 through 6. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. We just ask you to touch and speak to us here tonight. Let your will be done in your precious name. Amen. When we consider what Cornelius was, a commander of the legions of Rome that occupied Israel, the story of his faith and sacrifice is even greater. You see, the scripture gives Cornelius an awesome report on the character of his nature and the condition of his heart before God. He was a devout man who revered God and who had his whole house following his example of faithfulness. What does the word devout bring to your mind? When I think of devout man or woman, I think of someone who is faithful, fully full of integrity and dedicated to God in every area of life. And how many of us who call ourselves Christian, are we really devout? Let me tell you what Cornelius did to be called devout. He wasn't satisfied with just being an ordinary man. He desired to know God in a deeper fashion and to bring his whole family closer to God. Cornelius had heard this call from his God. He had become dissatisfied with the condition of his soul and his heart. He was not satisfied with the small amount of knowledge that he had about God or the things of God. Cornelius wanted more of God, not just for his own benefit, but also for the benefit of his whole family. He spent a lot of time in fasting and prayer, seeking the face of God and asking God to bring him into a deeper walk with the Lord. And oh, folks, that we would get hungry enough in the spirit, that we would be willing to make ourselves hungry in the flesh in order to hear from God. You see, the reason most people do not hear from God is that they do not want to hear from God bad enough. Amen? Do we really want to know God's will? Do we really want to hear from God? How bad do we want those things? You, when you ask the question, do we really want to know God's will? Are we afraid of what God will tell us to do? Are we afraid that God's going to ask us to do something that we really don't want to do? So we just go along and just go with the flow and think that, hey, I'm doing okay. Do we desire to feel the presence of God, to hear the voice of the Lord, or see his glory made manifest in our lives? You see, if we do, then let's get devout enough to spend time in prayer and fasting until we see and feel a move of God. God wants to bless his people, but he sometimes waits to see if we really want his blessings. You see, Cornelius walked with God. He didn't stop. I'm sorry, God didn't just stop with himself and God, but it spilled over into his relationship with everybody around him. He taught his family the ways of God. And I believe, folks, that he did all that he could and teach the Roman soldiers under his command how to live morally and to respect the things of God. Cornelius had integrity, and that means that he was the same all the time, whether at home on his knees before God or standing in front of the troops giving commands. His heart was right before God, and that made his relationship with his men better too. Cornelius spent a lot of time in prayer and fasting, and every time he knelt down to pray, those prayers would rise up to the throne room of heaven where God was recording them. Every time he did without a meal and fasted and prayed, God recorded it under Cornelius' name. Every time Cornelius taught his troops or his family about God, it was recorded by God. God was keeping a record of everything that Cornelius did to reach to him. Do you believe, folks, that God is still keeping records right now of your life? Think about it. What has he written about you this past week? Did he write down how much you fasted and prayed? Did he write down how many times you witnessed to someone? How many times you read your Bible? Or did he just record another day without seeking after me? Every day your pages are filling up with the notes that God takes on your life. Every day God adds to your story. Either he writes down those things that remind him of your faithfulness, or he writes down those things that will be used to condemn you at the judgment. Whatever we do, God recording never stops. Amen? Why did Cornelius spend so much time in prayer and fasting? He did so because he feared God. He knew that God was real. He knew that most important thing in his life was to please God. Cornelius knew that whatever good things were his and were given to him by God. Amen. The reason most Christians do not fast and pray much anymore is that they have lost their fear of God. Many have preached the love of God so much that it has sugarcoated God until people have forgotten that God is also our judge, and that one day soon we will stand before him to be sentenced to either eternal life or eternal death. Many go about their daily lives without even thinking about God. much less considering that he is watching every move that we make and then recording it all. You see, many don't teach their kids that God is awesome God and must be the center of their lives. Many teach them to read and watch Harry Potter and Hollywood superheroes. And then we wonder why they don't grow up to be as devout as they should be. Who is watching your kids during the day? Is it Hollywood? Come on. Do they know more about TV shows than they do the things of God? Turn off the TV and get rid of the occult books and music and turn something on that gives God the glory, that you might see a difference in the attitudes of your family. Hallelujah. What kind of memorial is going to be for your kids? Will they remember the times of family prayer or of family fights? Will they remember the going to Sunday school and church and learning the Word of God? Or will they remember the Sundays at home somewhere relaxing? What kind of memorial are you building for your life and the lives of your family? Cornelius was also a man that was generous in his giving. He was giving of his time. He was giving of his money, his abilities to better his family and to further the kingdom of God in the heart of everyone he met. God watched and recorded every time he dropped a coin into the temple treasury. God watched and recorded every time he dropped that coin, every time he stopped to lend a helping hand to someone. God recorded every time that Cornelius gave sacrificially of his own to supply the needs of somebody else. What do we want, amen, to rise up before God as a memorial for our lives? What do you want your memorial to read? Here lies a selfish, egotistical loner who cared nothing for man or God. Wouldn't it be better if God wrote your memorial and he said that you were a good and faithful servant? You see, what people, and more importantly, what God will remember about your life is being written as I speak. What is your memorial going to say today? Cornelius searched for the truth. It was soon answered. You see, all the prayer and the fasting and the alms and the teaching that he had done had risen before God and became a memorial to God. And God honored, folks, he honored the life of Cornelius by sending an answer that Cornelius would never forget. God sent to him a messenger. Amen. A messenger, an angel of the Lord, to the house of Cornelius to deliver a personal message from God. Cornelius' offerings to God were accepted. And God hears the prayer of his children tonight. I want you to remember that, folks, and never forget it. God hears the prayer of his children. Hallelujah. God sent Peter to his house to preach the gospel and to teach him what he needed to do to be saved. You see, God had given Peter a vision of a sheet held by four corners that came down out of heaven and told Peter to rise and eat. Peter was hungry to see people won to the Lord, folks, but he wasn't convinced that the Gentiles could be saved. So God had to give him this vision three times to let Peter know that God is no respecter of persons and that God desires all men to be saved, both Gentile and Jew. Peter preached the message of the cross. He told of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and of the great commission to preach the gospel to the whole world. Acts 10:44-48. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How do they know that?
hath, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Cornelius had built a memorial fasting and almsgiving and service to the Lord. And because of that memorial, his whole family was saved, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. What a great memorial to have given to you and I. What greater memorial can we have than to have our whole family be saved and spend eternity with them in heaven? The greatest memorial I could ever hope for, that's the memorial I desire more than anything. You see, God helped us live our lives as a memorial to you so that our children and our grandchildren and generations to follow can be blessed as a memorial to our lives. Let me say that our lives, folks, as we stand here tonight, our lives will be a memorial. Whether it is a memorial to righteousness, a memorial to sin is being determined right now. Righteousness or sin? The memorial you leave behind will haunt you or bless you for all eternity. And the destiny of your family and many of the people that you influence will be a part of that memorial. Folks, that's an awesome responsibility tonight. The memorial you leave behind will haunt you or bless you for all the eternity. And the destiny of your family and many of the people you influence will be part of that memorial also. So you can sit here, stand here right here, right now, and you can start thinking of family members. And you can start thinking of close friends. And you can think of coworkers. And you can think of your neighbors. That you have the opportunity to influence. What is God writing down? What is God recording? Is it recording an attitude with a family member? Is he recording grumping and complaining at your job instead of being a witness? How do your neighbors get along? Is he recording that? What do your children see? What kind of influence do they have? Is it the TV? Is that the most influence all during the week that they have? What is it, folks? What is God writing down? What kind of memorial is he writing about you? Are there going to be people standing there on the day of judgment and say, why? Why didn't you reach out to me more? Why didn't you tell me about your God? This Memorial Day, don't forget to make your life a memorial to God. And then watch as the Lord makes a memorial for you. Watched a memorial this weekend to a young boy, 14 years old, that made an impact on people's lives like I've never seen before. This was a young boy that would wake up and say, what time is it? Is it Sunday? Is it time to go to church? On numerous occasions, because he was losing track of time and things, but every chance he got, he raised those weak arms. Folks, there was probably 500, 600, 700 people went through that place to visit that young boy because they saw the faith in God and the determination to live for God. And we went to a memorial
Friday night? I'm losing track of time. In North Olmsted. And at the end, Sister Kathy said, one of the greatest things he wants, and one of the greatest things you can do for him, is draw close to God. He lived it the best he could. He called me. He had his parents call me one day because they wanted me just to come and assure him that he was going to heaven. And I just went over there and talked to him. You love God. You were baptized in his name. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. God sees you. He understands the situation. Don't you let the devil lie to you, Logan. And I just want us tonight, folks, to understand that we are building a memorial. Every day in your life is a memorial. And if maybe it's not been the greatest so far, but tonight can change. You can say, from now on, God, I want the good marks. I want to change how I talk to my neighbor. I want to love my family like I ought to. Hallelujah. I want to be a witness at my job. Yeah, I don't necessarily care for my job, but I'm going to do the best I can while I'm there. Listen, you may not like your job, but as Mordecai told Esther, you're here for such a time as this. While you're there, maybe God has you there for one particular person. If you just say, instead of complaining, which we're so good at sometimes, aren't we? Sometimes we get convicted because we complain so much. We got to say, God, forgive me. But what we need to do is say, God, I want to get out of here. You can be honest with God. Is there somebody here I need to reach? God, forgive me for my complaining, my belly aching, and help me to be that light. I just want to open this altar tonight so we come up here and say, God, tonight's going to be a new night. I'm going to leave here different. Tomorrow's going to be a new day. Come on. Come on, let's say, God, help me to build a great memorial before you.